Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Well, thank you very much, Nina. It's lovely to be here again, and it's lovely to see you all here. Welcome to the Royal College of Midwives annual conference. Some 1,000 delegates are with us in Brighton over these 2 days. You're from England, Scotland, Northern Ireland, and Wales. And I hope you're all going to have a fantastic time. That you will learn a lot, that you'll share a lot, get ideas that you can take back to your workplace and recharge your batteries. Recharging your batteries is particularly important. As I go around the UK, midwives tell me that they love their job and would not wish to do anything else. But they're also very, very clear that it is hard work being a midwife. Midwives have to give every minute of every day. They have to be positive. They have to be welcoming. They have to be kind. They have to be compassionate. And they have to be highly, highly skilled. And as the birth rate continues to rise across much of the UK, as the needs of women increase and the shortages of midwives continue, this is no easy task. Most midwives today are working additional unpaid hours out of goodwill. A survey conducted this year for the Royal College of Midwives revealed that 87% of midwives frequently or always worked more than their contracted hours. More than half of this group said that none of these hours were paid. Over 80% of midwives were dissatisfied with the quality of care they could provide. And very sadly, in my view, just under 30% of midwives would recommend their career as an occupation. However, having started on that rather gloomy note, what I want to suggest to you first today is that actually it isn't all gloom and doom for us, and that actually across the UK, midwives have actually got a great deal to be optimistic about. First of all, I think it's really important that we remember that the UK has got maternity policies that are the envy of the world. And for the first time, every country of the UK has a maternity strategy. And each of these strategies emphasises things that we believe are of paramount importance. Women-centred care, choice, reducing inequalities, reducing unnecessary interventions, and all of the strategies say that we need to ensure every woman has early access to a midwife. It's also really important that we note and appreciate that our policies aren't just supported by midwives and women. They're actually supported by our obstetric, anaesthetic, and neonatal colleagues. Our situation is very different from the majority of midwives working in Europe and the rest of the world. Many of these midwives today are locked in battle, defending not only their own right to practice, but also women's right to have a humane birth of their choosing. We are, I believe, really very lucky with our policies, the support of our colleagues, and our right to practice. Secondly, I think it's worth remembering that the body of evidence supporting our practice is increasing. In this last year, we have seen the publication of the Birthplace in England results. Midwifery care makes a difference to women and their families, and we increasingly can produce evidence which demonstrates that. Thirdly, despite the fact that our politicians may drive us wild at times, I would contend that governments across the UK have shown in the last year a real commitment to improving maternity services. In Northern Ireland, the minister, recognising that good health begins before birth, is committed to continuing to invest in early years initiatives as a way of improving public health and reducing health inequalities. This has ensured not only the development of the maternity strategy, in which the Royal College of Midwives was very closely involved, but also a commitment to appoint a project team to ensure its full implementation. The strategy includes a promise to promote community-sited midwifery units and promote midwifery-led care. And in Northern Ireland, the first two community midwifery units have opened in the past 2 years and are proving very successful. Wales has a maternity strategy for the first time. One of the pieces emerging from that is the direct access to midwives toolkit. Welsh health boards will be measured on whether women have had their initial assessment carried out by 10 completed weeks of pregnancy. This is the first time health boards in Wales have had a clear target in relation to maternity care. As in Northern Ireland, there's an emphasis in the Welsh strategy on the importance of promoting public health and the importance of midwives in doing that. Scotland is no stranger to maternity initiatives and indeed has often led the way. And only this year, Scotland has launched a new parenting strategy and committed £11 million to rolling out the Family Nurse Partnership Project for under-19-year-olds and their partners. The launch of the Maternity Patient Safety Collaborative in Scotland will see a patient safety champion in each health board. Scotland has also recently confirmed a full-time and permanent post for a midwifery advisor in the Scottish Parliament. And in England, we have seen a commitment to retaining the number of student midwives in training. And we have seen a variety of leavers and pledges, including choice of place of birth, continuity, and a named midwife for every woman, which, if followed through into commissioning, can only lead to improvements. The RCM is also pleased to hear that maternity services are likely to feature in the soon-to-be-announced mandate for health services in England. This is a very important document which will drive the behaviours and choices of commissioners and providers of maternity services. And the Royal College of Midwives notes that it is our arguments about the importance of a focus in maternity services that, amongst others, seem to have been accepted. And in England, despite the pressures that you are all feeling, the fact is, too, that we have 943 more midwives in practice than in May 2010. And in terms of service models, which should lead to improved outcomes for midwives, there is more good news. Alongside midwifery-led units are increasing. 239% change in the number of alongside midwifery units in England since 2002. That has got to be positive. And despite some freestanding units being under threat, those numbers are overall holding steady. And it's my belief, too, that actually the percentage of women delivering in freestanding midwifery units is probably increasing, because the units that are closing are some of our very smallest units, and we are seeing some larger, very thriving freestanding midwifery units developing, who are seeing numbers like 500 to 800 women. But good news isn't all about government and policymakers, or indeed the RCM going out and lobbying. It is also about what midwives do in difficult circumstances. You continue to do absolutely amazing work. And I think this cake represents a good... Oh, sorry, that's the wrong slide. it's not a cake. What we see midwives achieving at our midwifery awards, as they apply for our midwifery awards, is absolutely brilliant. And I also witness the wonderful work of midwives during my many visits to maternity services and midwifery education teams across the UK. Perhaps this cake sums it all up. It was baked by a midwife from Maidstone's freestanding midwifery-led unit. And in case you can't actually see it, that is 400 babies. This unit's just celebrated its first birthday, and it opened after the closure of the local obstetric unit amidst fierce controversy and a damning campaign in the local media about midwifery-led care. But the midwives stood firm. They had the support from the trust board, the chief exec, the midwifery management team, and the obstetricians. And this unit has been a huge success. By the time this birthday cake was baked, the midwives thought they'd need to make 250 babies, but as I say, they had to make 400. And I think this cake just mirrors the energy, enthusiasm, and dedication that midwives are giving all around the country to ensuring high-quality services in a challenging context. So lots to celebrate, but I know, and you know, that it isn't all a bed of roses. And I'm now going to move on to the worser side of the story. And I'm afraid I have to talk about the thorns. And as I do that, I have to focus on England. Because while there are many issues still to iron out in Northern Ireland, Scotland and Wales, it is in England that the situation is most grave. The government in England, alongside the National Health Service Commissioning Board, are working to set in place a strong framework in which quality maternity care can be delivered. And I hope I have emphasised how much people are trying to do that. But I have to contend that it is very hard to achieve all that is necessary with inadequate staffing in the face of a continuing baby boom. Extra student midwives in training is brilliant, but it isn't enough. What I'm hearing time and time again as I go out and about and speak to newly qualified midwives is that many of them either aren't getting jobs or are finding it increasingly difficult to get jobs. The amount of email traffic on this subject in the Royal College of Midwives is definitely increasing. And this is in sharp contrast to 2 years ago, when in fact most midwives who wanted to find work and qualification were doing so. Now the RCM believes that talent, hard work and taxpayers' money is actually in danger of being wasted. And it's not because we don't need these newly qualified midwives. The birth rate, as this slide shows, continues to rise. Care, as we all know, is more complex. I actually think if we were just dealing with a rising birth rate, we would actually probably be managing. The problem for us is the complexity, the social needs, the medical needs, the women who are much higher risk. The RCM appreciates that we do have more midwives, but we would still argue that the NHS in England is short of 5,000 full-time midwives, and the RCM will continue to campaign that we need more. We simply must match the midwives in training to jobs. 5,000 midwives in training is, as I have said, superb, but much better would be 5,000 more actual midwives. Midwives who can give bereaved parents the support they deserve. Midwives who can improve our breastfeeding rates, thereby improving the health outcomes for women and babies while saving the country money. Midwives who can help promote public health interventions, such as detecting women with postnatal depression before and giving help and support before the tragedies occur. Midwives who can ensure women and their partners have a fantastic start on their journey as new parents. Midwives who are the backbone, not only of a quality maternity service, but of a quality health service. The RCM will continue to lobby. But what I want to be able to say to the government and the people who help us deliver services is this isn't a selfish call for more. This call is being made by midwives who are pragmatic. We know that times are tough. We know that in a harsh economic climate, there is a fear that spending more money doesn't always guarantee change. In our case, however, I want to say that it will. And I want to make some pledges to the government in return for their pledges. I want to say that we will continuously scrutinise our own practice and ensure that we are always providing evidence-based care. We know this isn't always the case, and we will pledge to do better. Evidence-based care is effective care. I also want to say that we will make a pledge to benchmark our own services against the very best and try to achieve the same. We will aim to reduce the unacceptable variations across the UK in the provision of services such as home birth and in interventions such as caesarean sections and in provision of services such as VBAC services. Variation means reduced quality and is costly. And we will make a pledge to work as a team, whether that is with our medical colleagues, midwives working in different services from our own, or with other members of the maternity team, such as our highly valued maternity support workers. We know that teamwork and mutual respect is essential for high quality care. And we also know that we must ensure highly trained midwives are used effectively. So we will work to ensure that we are highly productive teams. And finally, we will ensure that even when we ourselves are under extreme pressure, tired and anxious, we will never let that show to the women. We will always listen to them, treat them with respect, and be considerate and kind. There will be no bad headlines about midwives giving unkind care. Let's hope this all makes sense to us and that we can keep that pledge. And let's hope it makes sense to everyone else, because we all have one aim, which is to improve maternity services. And the RCM wants to work with everyone to achieve that. So let me now finish by saying once more that I believe, and the Royal College of Midwives believes, that it is midwives and the people who work with them who are fundamental to the provision of high-quality maternity services. The UK needs to look after its midwives if it wants women and babies to have high-quality care. The Royal College of Midwives will continue to work on your behalf to ensure this is the case. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.